Thank you so much for being here at our 9th annual State of the Schools event hosted by the Greater Oklahoma City Chamber. We have two speakers today. Now, at the end of each speaker's comments, we will have an opportunity to do a little Q&A. Now, it is my pleasure to introduce you to our first speaker. Dr. Glenn D. Johnson is the Chief Executive Officer for the Oklahoma State System of Higher Education. He became the 8th chancellor to hold this position and began serving in January of 2007. Please help me welcome Chancellor of Oklahoma State System of Higher Education, Dr. Glenn Johnson.
Well, thank you very much, Teresa, and it's really a pleasure for me to be here today to visit with you about higher education and the role that, frankly, not only our Oklahoma City Chamber, but all of us can play in building a brighter future for our students in Oklahoma. I want to focus my comments specifically on our system of higher education. And when I start, let me take a moment to thank those with the Oklahoma City Chamber that work with us on building a very strong agenda for education in Oklahoma. Roy Williams and Drew Dugan, the board of directors, which certainly we're proud to serve with, have all had a great vision for what we need to do to improve our educational system in the state. From higher education standpoint, I think it would be fair to say that we are in the midst of changing times, not only in education, but certainly as we see the events that are going on both nationally and internationally. I think it's important to note that and a number of our institutions are represented here today, that we are forging significant partnerships with businesses, with other educational institutions as we are moving forward. Also, I think it's important to note that as we do this, the data really tells the entire story. And the data tells us that our place, Oklahoma's place, in this new knowledge-based global economy will be determined in large part by the commitment that our state policy leaders make to education at all levels. So let me begin today. We have several legislators here, just as I came up here, Senator Jolly, the Senate Appropriations Committee chair came in. Last year, in a very tough year, the legislature made the priority decision to increase funding for education, both at the career tech, the common ed, and the higher ed level. Very much appreciated, and certainly we want to acknowledge that. As we look, I thought it might be important, and Drew Dugan actually asked me to start by providing a little background on the way our state system of higher education is organized. And so, very briefly, and I understand the importance of brevity, we are constitutionally organized. In 1941, the voters created a unified system of higher education that's comprised of all the public institutions in our state system. For the first 30 years in our state, there literally was no coordinating entity. Any institution that might have wanted to start their own law school or medical school could have done so. So in their wisdom, the voters understood there was a need for a coordinating board to coordinate the activities, the academic programs in higher education. The state regents thus were designated as the coordinating board for our state system. Our enrollment numbers, as we start classes, all of our institutions started either last week or earlier this week, currently are 194,505 students. Our system is made up of three tiers, which make up the 25 colleges and universities in our state system. Of course, our two research institutions, Oklahoma State University and the University of Oklahoma. We have 10 senior regional universities in the state. In the metro area, the University of Central Oklahoma, of course, and then the Compass campuses in other locations around the state. We have one public liberal arts institution, the University of Science and Art in Chickasha, 12 community colleges, both Rose State College and OCCC here in Oklahoma City are represented here at our event today, 11 constituent agencies, which include our law school, cooperative extension service, and others. And then we have two higher ed centers, one in Ardmore and one in Ponca City. Our state regents are appointed by Governor Fallon and by the governor for 9-year terms, I believe the longest terms in state government. They are confirmed by the Senate. Regent Ann Holloway on our board is here today, and I certainly want to welcome her. I might mention the two from the Oklahoma City metro area, Dr. Ron White, who is pictured to the side of our picture because as a cardiologist, he was involved in his work at our last meeting. And also a member of the state regents that's been a great new member, and that's Regent Mike Turpin, who has single-handedly added about 20 minutes to our meetings each month, but in the process brings quite a bit of vision to the table. I'm often asked the question, what really does a higher ed coordinating board do? So I've laid out here just a quick definition of some of our functions and responsibilities. I mentioned earlier, we determine the functions of campuses and the courses of study at our various campuses. We prescribe the standards for higher education. We grant degrees. We also, and our system is somewhat unique, we recommend to the legislature and to the governor what the budget request is for the entire state system, and then we allocate those dollars after the legislature appropriates to the state regents in a lump sum. We're also responsible for setting tuition, administering over $300 million in student scholarships. We have the state's OneNet system, our statewide telecommunication system, and we also have a college assistance program. Student debt's very important. Our college assistance program does a couple of things. On the front end, it promotes financial literacy to give students the tools they need to have where when they go to college, they don't rack up so much debt that they have to drop out of college in order to pay their credit cards. And then we also have a very aggressive student loan default prevention area to help students with their student loans. That's what the coordinating board does. And I would contrast that with the functions of our governing boards, which each campus within our system has a governing board, and I've seen several governing board regents here today, and welcome to all of them. I would describe their responsibilities as more of the management function of the university. The governing board, I would say their most important responsibility is to hire the president. They determine personnel. They review contracts. They transact all of the building business that needs to be done at the institutions. They administer the auxiliary services, whether that be vending or housing or bookstore needs, and they take care of the management of the institution. I hope that snapshot is helpful. What I want to talk to about today is really the heart of what we do, and that is the value of a college degree and the value of higher education. Our governor has made it very clear that we have to have, if we're going to be competitive, we have to have the best educated and the most productive workforce that we can assemble. I think our state regents and I believe that means we need to make a commitment to any student, whether they're right out of high school going to college or they're an adult student who's coming back to college that have dropped out for whatever reason. If they demonstrate that they can perform in college, then we need to give them the access or the ability to go to college, and we do that through a variety of our scholarship and financial aid programs. We also need to challenge our students to perform at higher levels and to work harder and longer because, again, looking at the numbers in this 21st century knowledge-based economy, the numbers tell us that over 90% of the fastest-growing jobs will require a college degree or certification. The data also tells us that we're below the national average in terms of the percentage of our citizens that have college degrees. Nationally, and you look at these numbers, approximately 28% of our citizens nationally have college degrees. That number right now in Oklahoma is at 23.8%. So we've got work to do, but the good news is we have a plan to accomplish that task. I'm asked, is a college degree really that important? And my answer is emphatically yes. The numbers show that there's a strong, almost complete correlation between college degree attainment, a state's per capita income, and the strength of a state's economy. In fact, if you look at the numbers here, you don't have a state that has a high percentage of their citizens with college degrees that have low per capita incomes. And conversely, the states that have a low percentage of their citizens with college degrees, none of them have the high per capita income. So there is almost a complete correlation between degree attainment, the strength of an economy in a state, and the per capita income in the state. The U.S. Census Bureau recently came out with some very interesting information here, and you look at the slide, I'll just focus on, for a moment, the bachelor degree component. The slide tells us that on an average, if you compare a high school diploma holder to a college degree holder, that the high school, that the college degree holder on an average will earn $28,000 a year more. It also shows that the college degree holder is less likely to experience unemployment and will have health insurance. You take that number over an entire professional career, and you see again, comparing the high school diploma holder to the college degree holder, that the person with the college degree over a career lifetime will earn $1.1 million. And certainly, we would submit that's not even the most important reason to earn a degree, but there is compelling economic reasons to do so. Bringing it home to Oklahoma, it's also worth noting that according to the most recent survey and data released by our state's Employment Security Commission, looking at graduates of Oklahoma colleges and universities 1 year after graduation, 89% of our graduates remain in the state of Oklahoma, but more importantly, have jobs in the state of Oklahoma 1 year after graduation. We believe one of the primary reasons that's happening is because our colleges and universities have made a much more concerted effort to link our academic programs more directly to what business tells us that they need, particularly in the areas that we've listed here in healthcare, nursing, engineering, business, aviation, and then in new programs like wind turbine technology at OCCC as an example. The relationship between our chamber and Boeing has been something that's another very good example of linking those programs together. And we've also been very pleased to be a partner with the chamber on the Greater Grads program, which we all know when we develop internships, that gives students a hook to stay in the state and to stay with the company where they're working. I also think it's important to note, as we go forward, we have challenges. One of the challenges is online education. We put together a task force to address what our game plan will be in Oklahoma for our entire state system with the onset of MOOCs, and with the onset of all of the new technologies. We believe it's important that we're not reacting, but that we have a customized plan for what online education will be for our students in the state of Oklahoma going forward. We certainly have challenges on the financial end, and that's why I think it was important to note the very strong support we've had from our governor and our legislature. But due to the national recession back in 08, you can see from the chart here that not just higher ed, but really every area of government, the budget was reduced significantly. In our case, about 8.3%. If you look at it over the last 35 years, higher education's share of total state appropriation has fallen from 18.6% in 1980 down to 14.6% this year. Looking at it another way in terms of how much of the higher ed dollar comes from state appropriation, that number has dropped in the last 25 years from essentially 75% back in 1988 all the way down to 39% today. Obviously, we ask why. There's two major reasons, as Senator Jolly knows. The first reason, of course, is the significant increase in health care costs. The second is an exponential increase in the corrections budget. Our situation has been complicated further because during the time when the budgets have been cut, we've seen the most dramatic increase in enrollment in state's history. Over the last 5 years, a 14,000 student increase, which obviously means students and parents understand that they need a degree if they're going to be competitive, but putting more pressure on our system with budgets being reduced and more students coming into the system, which obviously raises the question, what have we done on tuition? And I really think this is a great story for Oklahoma, particularly when you compare what Oklahoma's done to what's happened at the national level. You can see over the last 5 years, back in 09, we were one of only two states in the country to have no increase. And essentially over the last 4 years, our increase has averaged right at 4%. And you compare that to the national scale and you look at some of the five-year percentage increases with the states listed, 78% in Arizona, 72% in California. Specifically, California had back-to-back increases, 1 year of 32%, another of 31%. So Oklahoma has taken a much different tack and certainly been, we believe, much more sensitive to the needs of students and parents as they earn their degrees. Some good news on the national chamber front, according to our U.S. Chamber of Commerce that rated the higher ed systems in the 50 states, three great takeaways here. Our system was ranked the eighth most efficient in the United States, the seventh most affordable. And the category of affordability was not just tuition and fees, but it was housing and books and all the related costs of going to college. And 19th in STEM growth, in growth specifically in jobs in the STEM areas. And a number of you were at our summit on Tuesday with Governor Fallon, where we talked specifically about how we can close that gap and produce more STEM graduates. Student debt is another area that I want to mention very quickly. And again, we are ranking very, very well nationally in this category. According to the Student Success Institute for College Access and Success, in a report that was released last October, our state, the state of Oklahoma, placed eighth in the nation in terms of students leaving college with the least amount of student debt, which is exactly where we want to be. And all this comes down to what will be, not just for this year, but for the next 12 years, our top priority in higher education, and that is degree completion through Complete College America. I will very quickly run through this. Governor Fallon kicked this off 2 years ago in Oklahoma. The reason was very simple. Over the last two decades, we have slipped, the United States has slipped from being first in the world in college degree production all the way down to 16th. And we all believe that's not satisfactory and that's not where we're going to stay. So as a result, we have kicked off the Complete College America initiative. 33 states are participating with a specific goal of producing more college graduates, more college degrees and certificates in the state of Oklahoma. The governor has provided great leadership. We set goals. Our goal over the 12-year period is to move all the way from our current number of 30,500 degrees and certificates to 50,900 in 12 years. An ambitious goal. It's a 67% increase. To do that, we have a 5-point plan. I won't go into a lot of detail on it other than to say the leadership at Complete College America has said and has told Governor Fallon this is the best plan of any of the 33 participating states, and it really makes sense. It focuses on preparing students to be ready for college. It focuses on remediation, to get away from the blame game, to get students the remediation they need in order to start earning courses for college credit. It strengthens the pathways with our partners in Career Tech towards degrees and certificates that we can count. Our new Secretary of Education, Bob Summers, is here today, and we've already started working on that project since he's come on board. Adult degree completion. We know that the population from high school to college is starting to level off, so we've got to look at adult learners if we're going to be successful in producing more college graduates. Those students that have stopped out for whatever reason, coming back to college, there's 70,000 of them in this state, if you can imagine this, that have 72 hours or more towards their degree, but they don't have their college degree. And through our Reach Higher initiative in higher education, we're getting those students back in college and customizing a program to get them the opportunity to earn an associate's degree and a bachelor's degree. Finally, rewarding performance. We have moved to a performance-based funding model where now funding for our colleges and universities is based entirely on their opportunities to increase their retention rates and ultimately their graduation rates. I think it's really important to note we set goals. Our goal as a state system was to increase the degree production by 1,700 additional graduates. The first-year numbers are in. We have not only met that goal, but we've exceeded the goal, producing over 2,900 degrees and certificates in year one, so our state system should be congratulated. I also want to talk about something that most other states regard as the best college access program in the country, Oklahoma's Promise. The criteria is very simple. You sign up in the 8th, 9th, and 10th grade. If your family income is below $50,000, if you stay out of trouble, you take the core curriculum, and you maintain a 2.5, the state of Oklahoma will pay for your college tuition. You look at the numbers, providing opportunities this year to over 19,000 students, students that can achieve in college but need the opportunity to go to college. This program is transformational and will be transformational in the future in terms of our degree completion goals. I also want to mention very quickly our concurrent enrollment initiative, where juniors and seniors can take courses for college credit while they're still in high school, our cooperative alliance initiative with Career Tech, where students can take courses for college credit while they're in Career Tech. And we have many instances before our students set foot on our college campus, they've already have 30 hours or more in the bank towards their college degree. And it gets them in the pipeline of knowing that they can achieve in college. Very quickly, we will continue to be aggressive in our efforts to oppose any legislation that provides for the carrying of concealed weapons on our campuses. Our system of higher education strongly believes there's really no scenario where guns on campus do anything other than promote a much more dangerous environment for students, faculty, staff, and visitors on our campuses. So we will continue our efforts. We've been successful stopping legislation for the last five sessions. More good news, we have our partners with the State Chamber, with the Department of Commerce, and with the Governor's Business Roundtable commissioned a study to look at the economic impact of higher education in Oklahoma. Great results from that study. Higher ed has a $9.2 billion impact on our economy in this state, is responsible for creating over 85,000 jobs. In terms of return on investment, for every dollar the legislature and governor appropriates to higher education, $4.72 is returned directly to the state's economy. And over $360 million is generated from our research component, again, dollars going directly into the economy. So it helps us make the case that certainly what we do in higher education is among the best investments made by our policy leaders in the state of Oklahoma. Finally, a year ago, our Secretary of Commerce, Dave Lopez, and the governor came together to put together a survey of 5,400 business leaders on the best strengths that business has and the obstacles that our businesses have for success. We were very happy that the number one business strength cited by business leaders in the state was the quality of our two-year and four-year college and university system in the state of Oklahoma. And drilling down further from those numbers, 87% of those surveyed said that our system of higher education was either excellent or very good. I just want to conclude by saying, I know we need to get into questions, but we believe strongly that our work is important work. We believe that our message is the right one, and working together with our policy leaders and with the business community, we believe we can, through what we do, we can make a more positive impact on our state than anything else that's out there. So with that, I thank you for your attention. I'll be glad to answer questions if we have time. The question was the slide that showed during the recession our budget, and frankly, I will say Common Ed and Career Tech budgets, were all cut in the neighborhood of 8 to 9% because of the decline in revenues. Specifically, again, I want to provide a thank you to the legislature because they didn't make across-the-board cuts. They made priority decisions, and the educational components were actually reduced less than some of the other areas of government, which indicated clearly that funding education was a priority, even though it was a reduction instead of an increase. In terms of the impact on the tax cut, and Senator Jolly can provide more information, at this point there has been no impact because that's taking effect going forward. So we'll have to see what it will be, and of course with that also, our revenue situation this year for the first time in 5 years was a positive revenue situation. Most agencies experienced slight increases in their budget. We'll just have to see in terms of the economic projections, basically, this last month, it looked like they were on about a 5% increase in comparison to where they were a year ago. We're going to have to see how strongly the economy bounces back in terms of revenues to state government, and then what the impact of the tax cut will be in the next year to really see where we stand on that. The point there has been, and again, this hasn't been anything that's been recently, over the last 20 years or so, as everyone here sees in their business, there's been a significant increase in health care costs, and from the state's vantage point, the amount of money that has to go to Medicaid. In conjunction with that, due to some federal court orders and other issues relating to our prisons, the percentage of the budget going directly to corrections has also increased. Again, as you look at the pie, with those two components increasing significantly, areas like education, which is the largest single component of the state budget, comprising almost 60%, it will stand to reason that as two areas receive additional dollars, those areas are going to receive a less percentage of the pie. And that's what's happened. And everyone understands the reasons. And again, because of that, we're, from a percentage standpoint, looking at less than we were 25 years ago. Well, let me just again thank the Oklahoma City Chamber. You have been great partners with us on our higher education agenda, and we look forward to a great session next year. We had a great summit on STEM that I mentioned, and as we go forward, I think it all comes down to education working with business to match the skills that they need for the jobs that are out there, and our commitment is to do just that. Thank you so much.